Hi, folks. This is CBD on the Cut Jib Newsletter World Radio Network. I have a new voice for you. Some guy named Sefton is finally back from his cheese curd incident. And he is, actually, I'm sort of joking about that. He had a bit of a health issue, which he's going to explain. But he's back and raring to go. So, Sefton, how you doing?
CBD, I am alive and well, and thanking God every day for just, I would say another day and another wonderful day in paradise. It's great to be here. And first of all, I just want to thank you and Misanthropic Humanitarian for filling in last week. And just I also want to just thank everybody for your thoughts and prayers. As you mentioned, this was, I'm not going to go into really into a lot of detail about it, but this was a rather serious medical incident and probably, I would say, the most serious of my life. But I seem to have pulled through with it okay. And the prognosis is, it was just one of those weird things. And I seem to be on the road to recovery. And thank God for that. So, again, I really appreciate everyone's prayers and thoughts and good wishes, because let me tell you, they really do work. So God bless everybody. And thank you for your the support and the love.
So the rumor that this was just a bris gone bad is not true.
Well, look at it this way. The bris gone bad was, that was like 63 and a half years ago. So, I mean, I guess it's a delayed reaction, but no, it was not a bris gone bad. Maybe it was a bad brisket, but, you never know.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, so we're going to keep this a little short, folks. So we're going to go right to the drooling fucking idiot commie prick who happens to be the current occupant of the White House. He gave a vile, angry, senile State of the Union last night. I did not watch it. I simply read some recaps of it from the conservative press, since I knew that it was just going to be a mass of lies, and I was not disappointed.
No, it was absolutely horrendous. I mean, this is literally the triple crown of the first one, which was the Bund rally in front of Independence Hall, the Leni Riefenstahl lights on Independence Hall with the Marines, followed by Valley Forge a couple of months back. And this was absolutely horrible. I mean, someone, I don't know if it was Daniel Greenfield or somebody, said even someone like Barack Obama, who was bad enough on a couple of the State of the Union speeches, he literally never attacked. Nobody ever attacked their political rivals during a State of the Union speech like this. It was a naked, shameless, just horrendous display. And it was a failure from the get-go. First of all, before he even got to the Capitol building, all these so-called Palestinian protesters were blocking the road, calling him Genocide Joe. So that was bad enough.
Which is fascinating, because the reality is that behind the scenes, he is trying. Well, he and his Obama minions are trying to kneecap Israel as quickly and as consistently as they can. Everything they do is designed to force a ceasefire and revitalize Hamas. Israel's not going for it so far, and I'm very, very proud of the state of Israel for resisting that kind of shit.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, in a certain sense, he is Genocide Joe, except that the genocide he's committing is against the Jews and not the so-called Palestinians. But Let's not quibble about that. And then, I mean, God bless, there was a Gold Star father there in the audience who literally, yelled at him and excoriated him from the gallery about his dead son, who Joe Biden and company caused the death of by bugging out of Afghanistan without so much as a warning, and making that, I mean, one of the biggest foreign policy disasters of all time. And of course, for his troubles, this poor father, who, by the way, his other son committed suicide at the son who was killed grave, he literally had him handcuffed and removed from the Senate. So meanwhile, Media Benjamin and her acolyte,
he was handcuffed, removed from the Senate and arrested.
And arrested.
It wasn't
exactly
just getting tossed out because he was being obnoxious. And something he should have been escorted out. That's reasonable. He made his statement. He should have been escorted out. He was arrested. And that's an offense to everything that the United States holds dear, because that's called free fucking speech. And he's the father of a U.S. Marine who was killed by Joe Biden. And for them to arrest him is offensive in the extreme. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's, you know, you're absolutely right. And I, no, no, I do agree with you. Look, in normal times, and these are not normal times, yes, there is such a thing as decorum. But as I was saying, is when this, you have this scum media Benjamin from Code Pinko, who literally, she and her minions were accosting a congressman for his support of Israel in the halls of Congress. These people get to roam freely because the Democrats allow them in, and anything could happen at any time. Of course, they get a slap on the wrist or nothing at all. But this poor father, he gets tossed out and arrested. I mean, that just tells you so much of what's going on with the hunting. It's naked political repression from Donald Trump all the way on down.
The man's name, and I cannot pronounce his last name correctly. I apologize. Steve Nikoui, Nikoui. And his son was Marine Lance Corporal Karim Nikoui. And once again, I apologize if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. But these two men are much more important than Joe Biden. And for the Biden junta to have this man arrested is disgusting.
Well, of course.
Sorry, I am thoroughly exercised about this.
No, well, that's what he does. He rails against, he literally lies and rails against his political. I mean, literally, forgetting about, and I know we talk about Donald Trump, the personality, forget that for a moment. Never in the history of any State of the Union speech has anybody ever used it as a political rally to attack their political enemies. He literally mentioned Donald Trump's name, I believe, 14 times during the speech. No other president has ever mentioned his rival during a State of the Union speech, ever, ever, ever. Not the worst of them, not Jimmy Carter, not even Barack Obama. It's like, this is just, it's unprecedented, but that's all they have.
Well, it's not unprecedented to make it a political speech. It's obviously a political speech and has been for many, many years, but it's done in a particular way. And that is a subtle and upbeat way, you know, saying, well, the Democrat Party is doing this better than, and we are going to continue to improve, that kind of stuff. But
right.
for Biden,
we invite our rivals to write.
Yeah, but well, okay. We know we're just talking in circles. Right. We both hate the son of a bitch, and
no.
His behavior last night was vile beyond belief.
Right, and you know the cocktail of whatever it is, Adderall, Pervitin, and K-Epectate. I mean, he started to fade fairly quickly when they bring up, of course, the most crucial issue of the election, which is the open border, the non-existent border that he created. And he pronounced this poor woman, Laken Riley, who was murdered by a Venezuelan illegal alien. He pronounced it Lincoln Riley. And I'm going, you got to be effing kidding. I mean, this is just... I mean, it's for anyone to not see that this guy is literally a dementia patient.
And then he said, yes, but thousands of people are being murdered by legal immigrants. What the fuck is that supposed to mean, you retard?
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
So, and somebody on Ace of Spades made the comment. So was he suggesting that we deport legal immigrants as well as illegal immigrants? That's actually fine with me. We should, well,
if you're committing crimes, if you abrogate your citizenship oath by that, you should be locked. I mean, I don't know what the law is. Obviously, you go to jail, but maybe you should pass a law where
except for white Germans who came here for to educate their children away from the state. Remember that?
Exactly. Yeah, they. I think they wanted to. But they were educating them in. You know, in Christianity and the tenets of Judeo-Christian, you know, all those things and anti-climate change and all the other things. And of course, for that crime, which is a heinous crime, they get deported. Meanwhile, a scumbag who freaking rapes and murders a 14-year-old girl or a nursing student from Georgia, he's fated as Nancy Pelosi called someone with a spark of divinity.
Yeah.
Go figure. Anyway, horrible, horrible speech. Just, you know, but again, the one thing I'm curious about, Donald Trump actually did live blog the speech. I'm curious to see what the ratings were, because from what I understand about the ratings on the networks, like literally nobody was watching this thing. The viewership was down like 60% from the last one. So who the hell was watching this?
Well, yeah, exactly. Who wants to watch this? And we're back, folks. So we're going to move on to something I have not given Sefton a heads up on, but there was an interesting article in the Epoch Times, and it's called Weaponized Migration, a Coordinated Effort Playing Out Deep in the Panama Jungle. And what they're talking about is how the UN and non-governmental organizations are staging illegal immigrants in the Panama jungle, and they're sending them out to essentially attack the United States, because that's what this is. This is an invasion. And the idea that that the rest of the world is not cheering this on is insane. And the UN, in fact, is paying for the maintenance of these people and staging them for their ultimate invasion across the southern border of the United States.
Yeah, this is an invasion. It's not just the typical sort of illiterate peasant from Latin America coming to pick lettuce or do whatever and, you know, collect welfare, which is bad enough, and water down whatever the hell is left of our culture. These are now military-aged males, not only from Latin America, but from nations in the Middle East and from Red China. And they are not coming here for any purposes that are good. And I wrote a little bit of a piece on this, and Jack Posobiec over at Human Events wrote, you might recall last week, this weird cupcake who was in the Air Force, who set himself on fire and immolated himself in front of the Israeli embassy. Turns out he was an Antifa fanboy, or he was related to Antifa, and he was a rabid Jew hater. He hated the U.S. military, and he sets himself on fire in protest. Now, it's not a very short walk from setting yourself on fire to strapping one of those Islamikaze suicide vests on and going into the White House, going into the Israeli embassy, going anywhere and blowing yourself up. And this guy is not alone. There are literally thousands, if not tens of thousands of people like him, of the illegal alien variety, and sadly, of our own natural born citizens who are Antifa fanboys who will easily do this, especially if Donald Trump does manage to beat the cheat and win in 2024. We are in for a world of hurt.
We absolutely are. Folks, it's as good as it's going to get for a very, very long time. And let's face it, if President Trump wins the presidency, I think a lot of these people will begin, not a lot, but a fair number of them are going to begin to self-deport. But the ones who were sent here, and I believe that many of these people were sent here, they will not self-deport. They will figure out how to stay. And all this will do is keep the most dangerous of them in America. It's a huge problem. It is an existential problem for America. And we all need to be on the same page. We need to end illegal immigration, and it can be done. Don't let anyone lie to you and tell you that it can't be done. We can close that southern border in a matter of a few months. The problem, is that right now, some of these people aren't even coming over the southern border. The United States of America is paying for their flights. Remember that?
That just got revealed 2 days ago. Biden flew in as many as, I think,
320,000 people at least have been flown into America by the Biden-Obama junta. And they are illegals, and they just get dropped off, and they submerge themselves in the increasingly illegal subculture of immigrants.
Yeah, this is absolute madness, and it's literally intentional. I don't know what it's treason to do this, to bring in criminals who will, bad enough, rape and kill people and rob you is bad enough. But then you have potential literal terrorists who are here, or spies or agents from foreign powers who wish to do us ill, whether it's communist China or Iran or whatever. And literally Joe Biden and Obama and everybody else who supports this is aiding and abetting mass terrorism and mass destruction within our borders. And it's happening now, even just the crime wave all in and of itself. But what happens when, as I said, one of these people straps on a suicide belt and decides to not self-deport, but self-destruct in a shopping mall, you name it. This is madness. And you're right, it can be done. Look, Pakistan, which, you know, I have no love for Pakistan. Pakistan deported 500,000 Afghanistanis from its borders, from within its country, just in the last few months. And if they can do it, certainly we can do it. You just got to cut off Uncle Sugar. You got to punish people who are employing illegal aliens, and you have to just disincentivize this. And once you do that, the self-deportation will happen along with the giving the authority, finally, of the Border Patrol to arrest people and deport them and kick them the hell out of the country. Period. End of story.
You know, what's fascinating to me is the mindset of the people who are facilitating this. Now, I understand why China is doing it and why Russia is doing it and so on and so forth. But why are supposed patriotic Americans doing this?
Right. The only reason that and we thought, yeah, the only reason that we see this, I mean, and this is totally illogical too, is that the only reason that they're doing this is because they've lost their traditional, or they are losing their traditional voting bloc, whether it's Black Americans, Latino Americans, I mean, legal Latino Americans, and so on and so forth.
No. I understand that. I understand the short-term goal, but the long-term goal is the destruction of their way of life as well. And what this does is it exposes the socialist drive, the progressive drive for power, naked power, at the expense of everything, including their own way of life. And it's just a fascinating glimpse into that mare's nest in their heads. I mean, they're just fucking insane.
It is fucking insane. I mean, to turn America into what is at best, maybe, you know, Yugoslavia in 1992, just because you can rule the roost, or theoretically rule the roost, makes no sense. And it is insanity, but this is what they're doing. And there's no other logical reason behind it. It's a naked, they don't care what country, what kind of country they hold sway over, so long as they hold sway over it, and nobody else does. It's the only explanation I can give.
It's bizarre. All right, so let's hit one more topic.
Yes.
What do you feel like talking about?
American boots on the ground in Gaza, potentially.
Sure.
So this, you know, as we mentioned earlier, with the, you know, the Biden and the Democrats are in a real pickle. Both in trying to support Israel to fake support Israel the best of their ability to keep the pro-Israeli Democrat base happy and the money flowing in, and at the same time supporting those the crazy Muslim voters who want to see Israel and the Jews wiped out, and it's not working. And they want a ceasefire, which, as we all know, a ceasefire in Gaza means that Hamas is resurrected and ultimately Israel loses and will be destroyed. So this is a real pickle for them. So what they're trying to do now is the Biden junta now wants to have American troops go into Gaza to try to secure some sort of a port facility to bring in a humanitarian aid, supposedly, for the poor victims in Gaza.
Right. He says that no U.S. boots will be on the ground. Quote, this temporary pier would enable a massive increase in the amount of humanitarian assistance getting into Gaza every day, but Israel must do its part. Now, that's a big fat fucking lie. The thing is that there is more aid going into Gaza right now than before October 7th. The problem is that Hamas and other unaffiliated violent gangs in Gaza are stealing all of it, and they are not distributing it. They are selling it to the highest bidder. It is a bald-faced lie. Israel is allowing humanitarian aid. Hamas is controlling it, and that's the problem.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. I think the Israelis, God bless them, I think, at least for trying to distribute to whatever so-called innocent Gazans there may be. And believe me, I don't think there are many, if any, at all, but that's another story. It's crazy. But when you put boots on the ground, let's say they come in and they're trying to do this, and all it's doing is giving aid and comfort to enemy combatants. It's like, you know, it's like the American army, like George Patton, delivering food and gasoline and water to the SS divisions that are still holding out and defending Berlin in 1945. I mean, it makes no sense, and it's potentially setting up Israel to literally confront American troops to try to interdict these supplies from getting to the Hamas terrorists, because that's who it's going to. This is absolute insanity writ large. And again, it's a desperate act on the part of the junta, because they do not want to potentially lose the state of Michigan, which, as the primaries showed, a lot of people stayed home, and Biden did not get a lot of votes that he normally would have gotten.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not so sure that it's an electoral decision. I think it's mostly trying to appease their countrywide base. But by the way, the aid I was the aid that's going into Gaza right now, guess which UN agency is overseeing the distribution of that aid?
It's
UNRWA,
UNRWA.
yes, the people who have been in, who Hamas has co-opted and are part and parcel of the terrorist problem in Gaza and have been for years and years and years. So, you know, it's an impossible situation. And what's going to happen with American aid? Let's say they do build a temporary port and they can shuttle, you know, 50 or 100 shiploads of food supplies into Gaza. What's next? Who's going to give it to the Gazans, to the Arabs who live in Gaza? Who's it going to be? It's going to be UNRWA, and they're going to give most of it to Hamas. And all that will do is give Hamas more money. That's it. It's as you said, it's insane.
It's insane. I mean, there used to be, I remember growing up in New York, there used to be a public service announcement about the throwing your garbage out. The slogan was starve a rat today. And that's what we got to do. I mean, Israel has to starve these rats. And as soon as we can starve them out, the sooner this thing will be over. But just, you know, allowing any kind of aid to go in is not going to go to any, as I said, any innocent civilians, if there are any innocent civilians. It's going to the people with the guns and the people with the knives and the people that are holding the Israelis, if they're still alive, hostage.
Yeah.
So
the
Israel has
ultimate
to
goal, of course, is, and this is in the United States, there's a big push within the elite of government, but also among the UK elite, and that is to push for a two-state solution.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
That is criminal, because what that is going to do is first of all, teach every goddamned terrorist in the Middle East that violence gets you what you want. But second of all, it will put Israel in a terrible and precarious situation, and that is having to defend two essentially militarized borders when right now they're only defending one. They have enough boots on the ground within the West Bank to defend themselves. But if that turns into a second state, all bets are off.
It turns into a second state, and it also turns into a third front, because you forget about the Hezbollah assholes up in the
yeah,
north.
Yeah, and we can talk about Hezbollah too. And they, you know, the Israeli military talks about Hezbollah, the Lebanon border, as Gaza times 10.
Yeah,
and
so it's just
that's going to be nasty. And for the United States to throw Israel under the bus with this nonsensical talk about a two-state solution right now is just vile. It's saying, yeah, you know, Hamas isn't so bad.
It's madness writ large, and it's you know, this junta has they cannot win. God forbid they win in November. Win, which is a charged word, as we all know. But we're heading for a world of hurt, World War III, whether it's in the Middle East and wherever else, or China with Taiwan and Iran getting a bomb, and it's just, you know, oh God,
so
it's crazy.
The thing is that we've got what, 7 months to go before the election, and it's going to be brutal in the next 7 months in the United States. The degree to which we are polarized is unbelievable. I simply do not remember any time in my lifetime where America was as polarized, and I grew up in the 70s. So
same thing.
But I got to tell you, I think Donald Trump needs to run a smarter campaign. It's still this cult of personality that he, and by the way, folks, vote early, vote often, vote for Donald Trump. He is my candidate 100%. Obviously, there's no fucking way on earth I'm going to vote third party. There's no fucking way on earth I'm not going to do everything in my power to get this man elected. I have been bitterly critical of him over the last couple of years. I think he has made significant mistakes, but right now he is my candidate, and I hope he is yours. Anyway, I hope he runs a much, much better campaign than he has in the past.
I think he's got
to be the elder statesman. He's got to demonstrate that he has control over his emotions. He has to demonstrate that he is the philosophical statesman that we all need.
Yeah, and he can't endorse these freaking wishy-washy rhinos. He has to just be better at finding people who can give him really good candidates to endorse. On the one hand, I will say, I think he has a little bit tempered his message over the last couple of weeks. He has been doing better, so that's good. But like CBD, you're not like people, you know, you don't just attack him, and I don't just attack Donald Trump for the sake of attacking him. I mean, it's legitimate criticism when he makes a mistake, and you can't just not criticize the guy because, you know, you love him so much and whatever. You have to. We're criticizing him to try to help the guy to be better and to make the better decisions. And I'm cautiously optimistic that I think he sees it and he's going to do these things. But to your point about America being divided, there are a couple of people, one of them being Victor Davis Hanson and the other one being Dennis Prager, who are not really known for being hyperbolic or being having their hair on fire about a lot of things. But their last two columns, basically, they just openly said it. We are irreconcilable differences. America is heading for a split. Basically, was the nub of both of their essays, and for the two of them to freaking admit that, that's pretty alarming right there.
Yeah. Well, I think on that happy note, we're gonna keep this one very short, folks. Thank you very much for listening. I apologize for the hiatus. I don't know if I mentioned it. This is season 7, episode 1. We're going to turn over a new leaf and do more of these things. And please, those cards and letters coming. And thank you very much for your support. And Sefton, why don't you close it out?
Yes, you have been listening to the Katyev News Radio Network, around the world, across the nation, and up your street. Thank you, folks, so much for your support. And again, on a personal note, for your prayers and good wishes during my medical issue these last few weeks. We're going to try to hopefully make these things a little bit more regular and get back to a regular beat. If I'm not here, if I can't make it, we'll have Joe Mannix and all the co-bloggers and special guests come. But I'll be back, and you haven't heard the last from me. So again, echoing CBD's thoughts, thanks so much for your support. Please keep hitting the tip jar, and we will see you soon on the next one.
Thanks for listening, folks.